All right. Well, this morning I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 21. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 21.
The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 21 reads this way. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came, and in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace and your goodness to us. And Lord, the desire you have for us to understand more about you and the salvation that you've given to us. And so, Lord, open up our hearts and minds to hear from you even this morning, that you, again, Lord, might be highly exalted and lifted up, and our lives drawn closer to you and empowered to be the witnesses of your great grace. Bless your word, bless us, your people. Build Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory. And again, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, the title of the message is simply, The Press to Reach the Healing Christ. The Press to Reach the Healing Christ. And that really ought to be the case. If we know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, he heals all of our ailments that would honor and glorify him. And he wants to reach out to us, be it a spiritual healing, be it a physical healing, whatever the case might be. God wants us to be near unto him, and it honors him that we call upon him and that we pray to him. That honors the Lord. And so this morning we're going to take a look at three thoughts, and that is Jairus's need, the woman's need and her faith, and then also we'll see the last thought will be the importance of the woman's interruption and the Lord's intervention. And so as we back up here to verse 21 here in our first thought, notice what it says here, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And again, we find here, what we're going to see here really is the importance of finding the true physician, and then also the reward of a persistent and faithful pursuit. You know, God rewards those that diligently seek him. Do you believe that this morning? It's in the Word of God. God rewards those that diligently seek him. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. That's the word of God. And God says, if you diligently seek me, that means you believe in me. And that also means if you're diligently seeking, you trust he's going to answer. And that's what the Lord absolutely wants to do for each and every one of us. So here comes Jairus by name. And he's got this need. And he spells it out here in verse 23. Notice, and besought him, speaking of Jesus, greatly. He was pouring out his heart. Would that be fair enough to say? He had a genuine concern for the well-being of his daughter, and he was calling upon the Lord to save his daughter. Notice what he says, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. So she's 12 years old, we know that, and he's saying she is lying at the point of death. And of course, if you're familiar with the story, she did die, didn't she? And so he knew what he was talking about, and so this was a desperate moment and surely a concern that he had for the well-being of his daughter. But even though she was at the point of death, notice what he says here in verse 23 again. He says, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her. And notice this, that she may be healed and she shall live. Does he have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ? He's saying not that she might, maybe, hopefully you might be able to do something. He said, listen, he said, I need you to come and lay hands on my daughter that she will live. And so he put his faith and his trust in what the Lord can do. You know, that honors and glorifies the Lord to no end. And you know what the Lord did? He went with him, didn't he? And so he's on his trek there, and he's going to help Jairus here with the health of his daughter. And it's going to honor and glorify the Lord. And again, he's rewarding Jairus for seeking him diligently, and God's going to answer this prayer. So verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And now we find this woman here. Now this woman's we're going to see her need and her faith here that's going to be revealed. And so here's Jairus. He's getting ready to go back to his daughter. He's excited. Do you think he's a little anxious to get Jesus back to where his daughter's at? Is Jairus's goal to get the Lord there to her before she dies? Isn't that the goal? All right, so he's got in his mind, I've got to get the Lord back to my daughter before she dies. Because it's not the big event yet that you hear about people being raised from the dead. So he's in his mind, she's got to be yet alive for the Lord to touch her and heal her and recover her so she doesn't have to die and her life can be spared. So the Lord is following after him. There's this big throng of people that are there. And now we find the account of this certain woman here. And she has a need also, but she also has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Look at verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Let's consider her problem here. This is a 12-year problem. That's a long time to suffer of anything, right? If you had an ailment for 12 years, maybe you would have given up somewhere in life and saying, you know what, I am never going to get rid of this. 12 years, can you imagine? Maybe you've had an illness for a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, but 12 years long, she's been dealing with this ailment. And this, we have an account here of what she did. So she's got it for 12 years, verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians. That's a lot of doctors. And that's why we're looking to find the true physician. And I would say many of them were well-intended. And they diagnosed her problem. They said, oh, I know the problem. Here's my potion. Give me some money. This will fix you up, right? Here are my herbs. Here's my mixture. And boy, oh boy, back then, even 200 years ago, we had some pretty crude ideas about medicine, didn't we? Hey, he's sick. Let's just cut him and bleed him out a little bit. Hey, listen, we just have to bleed him out and the impurities and whatever else. And we found out that was not the best thing to do, right? So back then, they may have even done other kinds of things that would have been maybe even a little bit on the torturous side. But she suffered many things of many physicians, and she's going through this hardship. And not only that, again, verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but grew worse, but rather grew worse. So imagine this. Not only is she seeing these doctors, not only is she putting up, not only is she putting up with going through all that they're asking her to do, and no doubt there was probably some difficult challenges, and not only did she do that, but she also spent her money, her finances to do it, and promise after promise and hope after hope continually got dashed into pieces. And then the Bible says she grew worse. Now remember, she was losing blood, right? And I don't know about you, but if you're losing blood, I would dare say you're not feeling well. Amen? I would dare say you're not up to... And by the way, listen, she's out in the middle of a throng of people. Why? Because she heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was there. Amen? You and I have the presence of our Savior within us through the Holy Spirit, and we have His attention by when we call out to Him in prayer. And so no matter what we're suffering, listen, does God want to hear from us? Does God want us to call upon Him? Does God want us to place our faith in Him? Is the Lord Jesus Christ truly the great physician that does all things well? Can he resolve our issues? We need to have our faith in the Lord, our confidence in Him, because He certainly is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And we thank the Lord for that. So here it is. She grew worse. Look at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, notice, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. So here, now again, no doubt, listen, she's not feeling better. She's feeling worse than when she first started dealing with this issue 12 years ago. So she's not getting better. She's getting worse for 12 years. And she puts faith in the Lord and presses out to seek Him. And listen, in the midst of a throng, she's weak. Remember, see, we don't get all the details. She is weak. It's not like she's just there and, oh, there's the Lord walking by. I'll just touch Him. No, there's people everywhere. She probably had to slip her hand in somewhere between people, wouldn't you imagine, to touch the Lord. But she had a faith in what God was able to do, and God did answer, and He did reward her faith. But notice again here, in verse 26, she said, if I may touch but His clothes, or 28, I'm sorry, I will be whole. Did you see that? So she had a confident faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But wait a minute, let's back up to Jairus just for a moment here. And what do you think's going on? Remember, is Jairus in a little bit of a hurry? Is he in a little bit concerned for the mass? So all of a sudden, listen, he gets to the Lord and he says, listen, I need you to come. And he's hoping and praying he's going to say yes. And what does the Lord say? Yes. He says, I'm going to come with you. And they start on their way. And then all of a sudden, all these people start closing in on the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think Jairus is thinking? Not now. Amen. I don't need this now in my life. I don't need any interruptions. I don't need any interferences. I need to be able to get Him to my daughter. And these people are not helping my situation. But wait a minute, who's in control of every situation? The Lord, amen, God. And so He is doing everything on purpose for His purpose and for our good. And all listen, many times we don't always understand what the Lord is doing and what He's wanting to do. But He's still, listen, is the Lord still concerned about Jairus' daughter? Has He forgotten her? No, but listen, He's going to turn His attention, and we'll see the reason why here in just a moment. Notice what happens here in verse 29. Remember, she said, I will be whole in verse 28 if I touch but His clothes. And by the way, listen, it wasn't His clothes. It was His clothes that she wanted to touch. She was wanting to touch Him. And she was saying, I can't really get to Him, but if I could just get close enough to His clothes, I will be made whole. So it wasn't the clothing that the Lord was wearing. It was who the clothing belonged to that she was wanting to touch. And so she touches the Lord. And notice what it says here in verse 29. And a year later, verse 29, 12 more years. No, it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that, listen, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She got confirmation, didn't she? You know, listen, aren't you glad that the Bible tells us that God tells us to come to Him without money and without price? Isn't that great that God says you don't have to be of a certain social standing and you don't have to have a certain amount of money? Because she didn't have any, did she? And you didn't have to fit a certain criteria. All He said we had to do was come to Him. And that's what she was hanging on to. And so she had come to the Lord and she was seeking Him. And this woman displays really a preserving faith that God wants you and I also to have as well. And so, remember, verse 27 says, when she had heard of Jesus, doesn't the Bible also say that faith cometh by hearing the word of God? And so she hears the word of God in flesh, right? And he's coming her way. And so she touched Him, and she had sensed that she was completely healed. Did God reward her faith? Absolutely. Listen, this also works for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that don't have that assurance. Listen, Lord, I want to put my faith in my, that's all we have to do. Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. My faith is in you. And all I have to do is touch you and what you've said, right? Believe on him and all will be well. But really, it was her faith in the Lord that healed her. And God honored that. Now look, listen, God is going to confirm that and confirm her faith as well. See, listen, God does not have believers incognito, right? He doesn't have stealth believers. His believers are before him, are they not? Every believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, God knows, and not, how well does he know us? He knows every hair on our head. And they are numbered. Imagine that. You know, if you and I were the Lord, would we even think to number hairs? But God has thought of everything, hasn't he? Listen, God leaves nothing out, and that's important because it's important to the Lord. And so that's us. We are important to the Lord. He cares that much about us to know all the details. Even, listen, God even knows the details about us that we don't even really know. But he knows them, and we're glad of that. All right, so notice what happens here. So Jesus, verse 30 here, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. You know, the Lord knows every time one of his children are reaching out to touch him. Isn't that amazing? God knows every time we are reaching out to place our faith in him and to believe in him and to walk in him. So he says immediately, Jesus immediately knowing in himself, not outward, nobody else knew, but he knew that virtue had gone out of him, turning him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, you know, God, when God asks a question, is it a ridiculous question? No, of course not. If God asks a question, there's a reason for it, and it's important. And if it's important to the Lord, it ought to be important to us. Amen? And so as we consider this, the Lord says this, but again, and God, look at the patience of the Lord here, verse 31. And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?" What are they saying? That is a crazy question. Oh, here's what they can also be saying. How can we ever know this? How can we know? How would we even be able to begin to think of who touched you? So we would dare say that there were a lot of people there for the disciples to say, you know what you've asked of us, it's an impossibility. But God made it a point because, listen, nothing escapes the eye of the Lord. Do you believe that? You and I do not escape the hand and the eyes of the Lord when we're reaching out to him. And so what happens? Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done. He already knew who it was, didn't he? He looked round about to see who she was, right? And he wanted to know her and to confront her. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She laid it all out. She laid out exactly what she did before the Lord. And you know, the Lord's going to confirm her faith in her life. And so he says this, verse 34, and he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Isn't that something? She had confirmation already of the healing of her body, but then she approached the Lord because the Lord was calling out for her, and she reveals everything to the Lord, and now he says, "Listen, you are from his own lips, you are completely made whole." Isn't that something? That's what, you know, when somebody trusts the Lord by faith for the cleansing, healing touch of the Master's hand for our sins, then we make a public profession by baptism confirming the work of the Lord. Or God has set that up that we might confirm the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's completed in our lives, and we make a profession. He's my Lord. She has made a public profession, didn't she? And sometimes people say, "Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can get up there and do that." She was in front of a whole lot of people, and she did not. How would you say, shy away from making a public profession of who she put her faith and trust in? And she stood out, and the Lord honored that and blessed her. So, So now we get back to this woman here and what the Lord has done in her life. And now Jairus is going to get some bad news here, right? And notice what happens here in verse 35. And here's the importance of the woman's interruption and the Lord's intervention. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler. So remember, he's telling this woman that you're made whole of your plague. And while he's speaking, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house several of them said, thy daughter is what? Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And so here he is, and who knows what's going through his mind at this for this brief moment. Maybe he thought, if this woman hadn't interrupted, or if the throng wasn't there, if the situation or the circumstances had been different. But you know what? God is in control of every situation and every circumstance, no matter what. And so here's this situation. And by the way, this was important. The Lord, no doubt, do you think the Lord knew she was going to die? Yeah. Notice what he says here to Jairus. Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now let's examine this situation that just took place. Can this man, Jairus, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that he could actually be the one that would heal his daughter? Did he not just witness this woman's healing? Did he not just hear, he's with the Lord, did he not just hear this woman say all of her woes and what she's been through and what she thought if she could just touch the Lord that she would be made whole? Did he not just hear the Lord say, you've been made whole? Amen? So what was that doing? The Lord allowed that event for the healing of this woman, but also for the faith building of Jairus as well. If this man could heal her, and he's telling me, be not afraid, only believe, I can have hope too. And so in that hope of what the Lord had placed on his heart and in his mind, he continued walking. He didn't just throw in the towel and said, forget it, it's too late. I have to go prepare for a funeral now. He continued in the process to bring the master, to bring the great physician to his daughter. And so, let's see what happens right here. And we find really what's taking place is a substantiated faith and a personal revelation that was given to Jairus as well. So, we find here verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And so he's got this smaller entourage now, if you will, coming to see this young girl. And so James, Peter, James, and John are with him. And he cometh to the house, verse 38, of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. So there's no doubt, these are evident signs that his daughter had passed away, and he still has to continue forward if he's going to trust the Lord. In spite of what he was seeing, in spite of what he was feeling, he still went forward with the Lord. And that's what God is wanting us to do as well. So as he's going forward, verse 39, and when he was come in, so he's in the house now, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Now, did the Lord know what he was talking about? Absolutely he did. And see, listen, God brings those up to a certain point concerning, so be it unto us according to our faith, but the deeper we go with the Lord, the more we're going to experience and the more we're going to see. These other people that came to him, they said, trouble the master no more. So they called him master. They respected him, but he was bringing them into an inner circle that many people don't enter into. Look at verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. Did they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? No, they didn't believe in what he was saying. But when he had put them all out, except for, you know, the Peter, James, and John and this group here with him, put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. So she's dead. Verse 41 here, and this is his faith rewarded. And he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talithai kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway, isn't that good? That's important. Right away, the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Who were the they? The mom and the dad, and Peter, James, and John that were there. They were astonished. You know, God wants to astound us in a positive way. He wants to build our faith in him. And so they were there with great astonishment. And verse 43, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. But they knew it. See, God reveals things to his people that are genuinely seeking to experience the work of God in their life. See, if we will seek the work of God, Lord, what is the work of God in the life of the believer today? What is the work of God in your life today? Is it not to be more transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ? We spoke about the love of God here this morning in the Sunday school. Is that not the work of God that he wants to bring into our lives? Not our love, but his love into our lives. Isn't that what God wants to do? Does he not want us to make us more like the light of God and the love of God and so that God can do his work and we can speak to people and we would see them know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? This is the press to reach the healing Christ that we put our faith in. See, we must press into the kingdom of God. It's not a casual walk. It is a personal pursuit on purpose that we seek the Lord. How? Once in a while? When the weather's blowing right? Or is it with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul? How often? Every day. Every day. And that's something that only you and I can decide. Is that what we're doing? Are we personally pursuing this new life that God has given to us? That new life is not in us. It's in us by the grace of God. Or I should say, this new life is not of us. It is of God. Amen? And this new life that God has placed in us, we must pursue the Lord in order for him to engage and activate it so that it would honor and glorify him. And we would humbly walk with our God in a way that would honor and glorify him and point the world to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, God says he would have all of his people press to reach the healing Christ. That's an invitation, by the way, and an opportunity if we'll have it. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you for your word, the reminder, Lord, to press into the kingdom of God, to seek you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and that you are truly a rewarder of those that would diligently seek you, and we thank you for that. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and build Northwood for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.